If you would, turn with me to 1 Kings this morning. First Kings chapter 18. First Kings 18, we'll begin reading in verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. and the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. This is one of those historical events that we have recorded that really captures our imagination. You can just picture the prophets of Baal, those 450 prophets, acting so foolishly. They are cutting themselves, they're running around, they're jumping on the altar, just foolish acting men. And they do this for many hours. And then one man stands alone. He takes 12 stones and he builds an altar. He sets the wood in order. He slays and prepares the sacrifice. Then he calls for a total of 12 barrels of water to be poured out upon it. And that man stands alone. He says a few words, after which the fire of the Lord consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and not even a drop of water remains. What a sight that must have been to behold. This morning, Lord willing, we'll spend just a few moments looking at the prayer and God's answer to this prayer from three ways. First, as it's recorded here, as Elijah's prayer. Then we'll look at it as our Lord's prayer. And finally, as every sinner's prayer, as my prayer. Let's look at it as it's recorded here in verse 36, the prayer of Elijah. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. What a sweet prayer. Consider for a moment where Elijah stood. There are 450 prophets of Baal, the popular religion of the day, and they all stand against him. The king of Israel blamed him for the drought that Israel had been enduring for 3 years. He said, it's all your fault. The government stood against this man. The people of Israel, the everyday people, stood in ignorance. I say they stood in ignorance because when Elijah asked them in verse 21, how long halt ye? How long do you jump back and forth? How long do you halt between these two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The people didn't know God. They couldn't make a strong stand for one side or the other. They didn't know which one was God. They were ignorant. And the people's opinion of Elijah, at best, they thought little of him. But they had been taught by their leaders that he was the cause of all their problems. They probably didn't think much at all about him, probably didn't like him. Nevertheless, with all of this against him, for Israel's sake, Elijah came near after having prepared a sacrifice. Elijah dared not go before God empty-handed. He knew that in and of himself, he could not and would not be accepted of God. But with another to bear the penalty of his sin, he comes near and offers this prayer on behalf of Israel. He begins his prayer with Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He addresses his prayer to God as he is revealed in scriptures. He comes first to the Lord Jehovah, the God who saves. Elijah did not, so to speak, come casually before God's throne and say, God, as addressing the holy, just, righteous Lord God of heaven and earth. But he pleads to the Lord Jehovah. In his prayer, Elijah cries out to his mediator, who is God. He continues, Lord, God of Abraham. Who is Abraham? So often we think of Abraham at the end, after his story is fully told. But this is such a blessing to me. Abraham had a beginning just like we do. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. Hold your place here in 1 Kings. We'll be right back. Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. Genesis 11:31. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Abram went out with his father from a land which was not of Canaan, willingly to dwell in a land of Canaan. Why is that significant? Turn back a couple of pages to Genesis 9, verse 25. Genesis 9:25. And Noah said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Canaan was cursed. His land was cursed. Terah decided to leave a land that was not cursed and go dwell in a land that was cursed. And he took with him all of his children. Terah sounds just like his father and just like my father. Adam chose to rebel against God. He left the blessings of communion with God to dwell in a land that God cursed. And he took all of us with him. Back in 1 Kings 18. Elijah's prayer. Lord God of Abraham, that man who with his father went to dwell in a cursed land. That's a man I can identify with. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac. Although Abraham dwelt in a cursed land, God called him out and he made him a promise. He made him a covenant that he would have a son. And God fulfilled that promise. When Abraham and Sarah were old and it was not possible for Sarah to bear children any longer, God did the impossible and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. I found it interesting that Elijah invoked the name of Israel rather than the name of Jacob. Most often when you read this title, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of, it's generally Jacob. This is one of three times that the name Israel is used rather than Jacob. Lord God of Israel, the God who has chosen a lost, rebellious people, and of your grace, given them a new name, a new character, and a new walk. This is the God Elijah comes to in his prayer. The God who saves, the God who calls a man out of a cursed land, the God who is faithful to fulfill all his covenant promise, and the God who is able to take a vile sinner and make him a prince with God. Now let's hear Elijah's plea. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. This is Elijah's prayer for these people standing about him, halting between two opinions. Lord, reveal yourself to them. Have mercy upon them. Make yourself known to them. Save them. And turn their heart. And if you cause them to repent, then they will seek your face. And the Lord answered his prayer. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. In answering Elijah's prayer, God reveals himself as the just God and the Savior. Sin must be dealt with. God will by no means clear the guilty. Although it was this people who had sinned against God, who deserved the justice and wrath of God to fall upon them, there was a sin offering made, which bore the condemnation and protected those surrounding the altar from being consumed. God also answered in a way to remove all doubt that any man had anything to do with this work. The fire of the Lord fell, and it consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood. Any man could make a fire that would do that. And the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Our Lord made it clear, this is His salvation, not a man's. Elijah stood, for all anyone could tell, alone against insurmountable odds. The government, the religion, and even the everyday people stood against him. But he stood as the prophet of God and prayed for a people who were against him, that the Lord would be pleased to reveal himself to them. Now let's look at this prayer as the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. Back in verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice. Hebrews 9:26 says, now once in the end of the world hath he, our Lord Jesus Christ, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice that Jesus Christ, the prophet, came near. What condescending love and grace. God, the eternal, immutable, holy, glorious God, came near to us, vile sinners. He was made in the likeness of our sinful flesh. He came near where we are. As we heard Wednesday night, he vitally joined himself in union to us. And he said, as our representative and as our great mediator, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. As the great prophet of his elect people, our Lord prays for the remembrance of the covenant that God made for himself, with himself, and by himself for those that the Father chose to save. And our Lord seeks to have his elect know the true and living God through the revelation of his person. Just as Elijah did not come empty before God with his prayer, so our Lord did not come empty before God with him, with his prayer. Elijah prepared an altar. The Lord Jesus Christ is our altar. Hebrews 10:5 says, a body hast thou prepared me. Elijah placed the wood in order. God the Father hath made God the Son sin for us who knew no sin. Sin, the fuel of God's wrath, was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. The wood was placed in order. And God answered the prayer of his faithful servant upon the cross of Calvary. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, met with God's law. There, God reveals himself as the just God and Savior. With our sin found upon him, the fire of the Lord, the wrath and judgment of God fell again. But this time, rather than consuming the sacrifice, the altar, the wood, the stones, our great Savior consumed God's wrath. And as he did so, the sin of every elect sinner was purged. Jesus Christ stood alone. In the beginning, God the Father elected a people to be saved from wrath and condemnation, but justice had to be satisfied. When no other way could be found, the Lord Jesus Christ went forth and declared, "I will be surety for them. I will pay the price they cannot pay. I will redeem them." When our Lord came in the flesh, the government stood against him. The religious leaders stood against him. The people cried out for him to be crucified. His friends fled from him. He walked the winepress alone. And all the time, he prayed for us. And he has purged our sins by himself. He finished the work. Thirdly, this prayer is our prayer. This prayer is the sinner's prayer. At some point, every person in here has had this prayer made on their behalf. Many of us in here have prayed this prayer ourselves and have prayed it for others. Every time we pray, the words are different, but the meaning is the same. Every time we pray, "Lord, be merciful to me," do we not mean the same thing? "Lord, reveal yourself to me. Reveal to me your salvation. Reveal to me that you have accomplished it all. Reveal to me that I can rest on you." Every time we pray, "Lord, save my children. Save my loved ones. Save this town," do we not say the same thing with different words? "Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day, this moment, in this meeting, that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again." When the Lord is pleased to answer this prayer, when the sinner sees the fire of the Lord fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ, sees his blood that was shed for our sin, sees the absolute holiness of God, what is the sinner's reaction? Verse 39. "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.'" Earlier, the people answered him not a word. But now, they bow before the holy, sovereign God, and they have something worthy to be confessed. He alone is worthy to be praised. May the Lord bless that to our hearts. Dismissed.